You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 58. Stay tuned. Welcome to Beyond the High Road. Hi, how are you? Today we're going to be doing, are you readying yourself? If you are wanting to prepare yourself for the someday, or maybe in the very near future, maybe you're in court, but the future possibility of you reuniting with your kid, then I think that this is a great episode for you. Even if at this moment you're like, I don't know if I want to reunify, but I really want to stop feeling the way that I'm feeling, right? I don't want to feel like shit anymore. This is also a good episode for you because really all of the things that I'm going to mention today are going to cause you to feel better. So here we go. So I told you before I had two different certifications, and the first certification, although it was a great program, it wasn't at all speaking to me with regard to my own personal challenges throughout life. And of course, with alienation, wasn't doing it for me. And then I began practicing causal coaching, which was my second certification. And causal coaching, as it sounds, it looks to the cause, the root of where we struggle, so that we're not just treating the symptoms. I know you guys don't really care about the certification stuff, but my point is that I went on a search to find the right ingredients, the right steps, the ones that spoke to me. And so this is basically what I'm saying is this has taken years of putting together bits and pieces that seem to work best for me. When I first heard of causal coaching, I was slightly offended because what that in my head was implying was that the cause was going to be found as me. And so with alienation, that can be kind of triggering, right? It feels like gaslighting. But what I will say is I found after some fighting and like mental wrestling with the concepts that I practice for myself, I can't change the alienator. I can't change the courts. I can't change the attorneys. Yes, I can go and I can bitch and moan and maybe get a slightly different result. But in the end, I'm still not changing those systems and I'm not changing the alienator. Those things are going to have to change on the larger scale. And that doesn't mean that we don't go and take the steps to change it like systemically and work with nonprofits and whatever it is. But when we're talking about like your case, my case, individually, promoting lasting change by trying to change the other parties is a losing battle in my experience. So that's where causal coaching comes in. And so when we learn how to manage our own minds and regulate our own emotions as a result, regardless of what anybody does, then we're able to deal with all the things that come our way, right? I truly believe things come into our lives and we can treat them as like random catastrophic occurrences and learn nothing from them and keep going on the way we're going. But then we never really solve that problem or issue that has come our way. For me, I could treat alienation as if it happened at me, on me, to me. But when I treat it that way, then I'm missing out, I believe, on an opportunity to better myself. And so I choose to believe that there's a reason I chose that partner, and that reason I'd like to know so that I can not repeat that. I repeated it my whole life since the time I was able to date until my last serious partner. There's clearly a pattern there that I now have decided that I want to learn about. Why am I attracted to those people? Causal coaching, treating symptoms at their root. For me anyway, it's just way more productive. I find that my results are entirely different than they've been throughout my entire life. So I used to sort of like, I would hit a problem and then I would go around it. And then I would hit another problem and then I would try to go around it. And then I would hit another problem and then I would try to go around it. And what's crazy is not even just with the people I dated, but each one of these problems seemed to be getting a little bit bigger and I couldn't avoid it anymore. to the point where here I was with my daughter alienated from me, my ex accusing me of being of all the things. And so I finally had to take a look at what I was doing, how I was thinking, how I was feeling that caused me to put me in those situations. I am doing this right before the holiday time frame, you know, like in November. For us in the United States, we have Thanksgiving towards the end of the month. And then, of course, we go into Hanukkah and then Christmas and all of the other holidays that kind of surround there. And then, of course, New Year's to follow. But we have all this extra time on our hands during this time frame. And so I thought that if you are in the place where you are a ho-hum or not looking forward to, you know, the events and the parties and people asking and probing and the questions and the yada, 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 then I think this episode could be the framework for you to provide and start working on feeling purposeful, because I know that this is one of the main things that alienated parents feel like we're missing. This is how I felt for a long time. I felt like my life was purposeless, meaningless, and I felt disposable, expendable, replaceable. I didn't have a direction. I didn't know where to start. It's kind of like, this is a very trivial comparison, but it's kind of like when you walk into a gym the first time. Maybe you've just decided that you want to lose weight and that you want to put your health first. And so you join this gym and you walk in and there's just like this sea of tons of equipment and you don't know where to start. It seems overwhelming. There's so many different pieces of equipment and so many different rows. Do you start with legs? Do you start with arms? Forget that. Which part of the legs? What do I need? I've got to hurt this or hurt that. You know, all the things. It's overwhelming. And so if you're anything like me, which I am a tad neurodivergent because of my ADHD, I am ADHD. I've always been. And so because I'm easily distracted, I lose momentum and I lose interest really quick too. That does not serve me when it comes to trying to help myself out of feeling like crap. I was a coach my whole life, but I was in the fitness industry before this. And so when it came to the mental health side, it took a while for me to get my bearings. I had a lot of stuff to like sift through. So it just seemed like, where do I even begin? So if that sounds like you, I have you right now. This is your episode. One of the things, I made a list, by the way, I made a list of four main things that I think would be really helpful for you. You don't have to do these in order if you don't want to, and you can kind of do some simultaneously, but I'm just going to go down the list. The first one is that you need to look at your unprocessed trauma. And this is a no-brainer. Well, what I mean by that is, how did you get here? Like, what do you believe, not victim blaming, but we all got here somehow, right? And so put a finger on what exactly it is that got us to where we are and take ownership of that, take responsibility for our own part in this big mess. So you want to look back at like your significant relationships in your past and one by one sort of sift through. We're doing this right now. Actually did not even mean to correlate these two things, like what I'm talking about right now with what we're doing in the Healing Reinvention Program, but we actually are in November. We're looking at connection and we're starting from when you were a young child all the way, well, towards the end of the month, we'll get to adulthood and each significant relationship that you've had in your life. And so I start with like first your mom, and then next we do dad from early childhood all the way up, looking at the significant relationships in your life in the past. And just if you haven't already, sort of sifting through and seeing if there are any things that might come up with regard to any unprocessed trauma. Now, before I go on, please know, just like I said last week, if you have not been to therapy, and if you think that you need to go to therapy or that would be helpful, please do, okay? I certainly do not intend for you to start going back and going through all of your old stuff and then feel unsupported. Okay. So just know too, I think that it's always, no matter what, is like a given that you know that I mean that you have a team of people who are there to support you. So whether that's a psychiatrist, therapist, and then of course, at least 2 to 3 people that you can call and talk with, talk to, talk at if you need to. Okay. Knowing that you're supported, then you want to look at your past relationships, right? How did you get here? Where is there anything that you might not have identified or addressed? Okay. Very important to look at that because we need to take responsibility for our own story. Maybe we weren't responsible for maybe something that happened to us as a, you know, children especially, but we are responsible as adults for having agency over it, right? Taking care of it and taking care of our own selves as a result of what might have happened. Okay, so look at your unhealed trauma. Look at your past. Look at your relationships up until now. Try to make sense of how you landed here. Number 2 is get your side of the street clean. Whatever they're saying about you, maybe you have supervised visits, if you've ever been late for those, if they're telling the judge or they've been making accusations that you are overall disorganized, make sure that you have that buttoned up. And by buttoned up, I don't mean on the down low, shoved in a corner and are still doing those habits behind closed doors. Okay. Some of you may not like this, that I'm saying this, but if you've been listening to the podcast, then it's nothing new to you. You've heard me say this on a few occasions since the beginning. It is so important for you. What episode was it? I think it was the bullied, when you feel shaken or bullied by the alienator, that one. I talk about this and I give an example of making sure there are no holes in your fencing. You can go back to that episode and listen to it. I came up with that analogy sort of on the fly, and I don't exactly remember, but it worked back then. So go there, listen to that, because I don't remember what I said exactly. But basically, for me, my ex, well, he's made all of the accusations, but the one that got me, the one that the judge fell for, and the one that I also created the most problems around, was my drinking. As the pressure came on with the alienation tactics, I started using alcohol in order to mask my feelings and deal with the uncomfortability of it. I didn't have the skills. I didn't ever learn the skills to allow for my emotions. And so instead, I just drank them to quiet my brain. The thing is that when he started accusing me of problematically drinking, then I got annoyed and took the defensive stance of, he can't tell me what to do when I'm not with my daughter. People do it all the time. Everybody else does it. Why can't I? And that was a pigheaded way for me to approach that. And so that's what I mean for you. If there are behaviors that you're doing, it doesn't have to be drinking. It could be whatever. Let's say they are saying that you're late all the time, that you're scattered and disorganized. Whatever it is, address it and become the opposite of that. Look at why these behaviors are a thing for you. And if you feel defensive for the behaviors and you want to keep them, like how I did, I wanted to reserve the right to do those habits because drinking was my only release. I prioritized that over protecting myself and my child. I didn't want to look at it like that then, but if we're being really brutally honest, which is what I'm asking you to do here, then I have to admit it. I prioritized my right to behave in this way over me and my daughter, over my daughter, even. I did not see it that way then. And that's why, obviously, I didn't stop then. Because I couldn't see it that way then. I was trying to protect myself with the habit. And that habit was doing anything but protect me. It was only numbing me. It was putting me in harm's way. It was putting my daughter in harm's way. And I'm okay with it now. Of course, it sucks. And I'm sad about it, but I'm okay with it because I know why I was doing it. And so that's what I'm asking you to do. So whether it's drinking, whether it's they're accusing you of being an addict and you maybe say, well, I only smoke weed and everybody smokes weed and weed isn't bad or whatever, whatever. I'm prescribed pills and they're saying that these are bad. Whatever it is, look at it. Look at why you're doing it and see if you're prioritizing it over your kids or if you did back then. And then clean it up. This is what I do in my one-on-one coaching. And then also too in the membership is I help you guys address this stuff. But yeah, clean up the habits, clean up your side of the street, make sure that your fence line and all the holes, little gaps are buttoned up. Okay. So there's that. Oh, and I put, yeah, you'll know if you've moved past it, if you're no more defensive about or protective over the habit. If you still feel defensive about whatever misstep you have, then that's something to look at again. There probably is some shame there that you want to address, to pull out of, you know, wherever it's hiding. Listen to the shame episode. Doing a lot of referring back these days. But I think too, because of the year mark for us, I've looked back on the episodes that we have done. And so I don't know. I just always think instead of having to explain it, I'm like, oh, there's an episode for that. So anyway, yeah, if there's anywhere that you feel defensive about or protective over, that you go back and look at that stuff and see where the shame is for you, or whether you are trying to hold on to a habit that is hindering you, that is holding you back. Okay. When you're trying to hold on to something like that, it has a hold of you. And so I lovingly urge you to let it release. Okay. With all of my habits, even when I was like closet smoking, it was crazy because I was an NASM trainer, taught 18 classes, fitness classes a week, kickbox, spin, you name it. And I closet smoked cigarettes back then. Then I went to e-cigarettes, which now I think is so much worse for you. I mean, it's all terrible for you, but no judgment if anybody still smokes. But I spent so much energy protecting these habits, so much energy protecting them. And really, those habits were doing nothing to better me. They weren't adding anything to my life except for, in my brain, the pleasure, the release, the break. It's like my little reward. It's my time. You can get a little reward and have some time doing something that's actually bettering you, like applying all of these things. Once you reprogrammed your brain to value internal reward over external reward, oh, it's everything. It's been proven that internal reward is so much more satisfying for our brains and it's longer lasting. So yeah, I would protect my habits and be like, oh no, I need to smoke. It's like my one little thing. It helps me to deal with life. But really, let's look at it. How was that cigarette or that puff of an e-cigarette really helping me to deal with my life? Like how? How? I was just getting a little bit of a nicotine buzz or whatever. Think of all the other chemicals I'm putting in my body. And really that act of doing it is like just a dopamine hit that we're getting, right? Well, I can get dopamine hits from a lot of other things that are all good for me. Whatever habits you're doing, if you've been accused of things, you want to make sure that stuff is buttoned up if you want to reunite with your kiddo, okay? Even if your kid does not agree, says they don't agree with your ex about the thing, if you have a habit that you're still kind of like unwilling to give up or you're just not sure it's your one thing, you feel protective over it, do a cost analysis, okay? This will help you because if that habit is something like what I've just mentioned, I was the habit queen, the bad habit queen. Look at it and see if it's worth it for you because there are other ways. I am willing to bet that you and I, you can schedule a free consultation. I can help you come up with a bunch of different alternatives, at least 5 different alternatives that offer the dopamine hit, which is usually what we're trying to get. Okay. So I can help you with that. But yeah, get your side of the street clean. Okay. All right. Number 3 is you want to process through the triggers that the other parent provides you. If you are still activated, shall we say, when you get an email from them, if you go into like stress response, when you think about having to talk to them or deal with them in any way, or with your child, if there's still like this stress response, trauma response that happens, and you have any unprocessed anger, sort of victim feelings, emotions around what has happened, nobody ever wants to admit, but I promise you, every one of us has had a victim mentality. Okay. So the chances are pretty good that there is some leftover for you. It is expected. It's definitely understandable that you would have or hold on to a little bit of the victimhood. It makes sense. You were a victim. You are a victim to this, and probably a victim of more than just post-separation abuse. There was probably some stuff in the marriage or relationship with the person who's alienating her kid from you, and maybe even earlier on. We addressed that above in the first thing. So look at and process through, either with a therapist. If you're talking about going into past trauma, then you go to a therapist, okay? You want to work on how to deal with the thoughts that you have today, then you can go to a coach, okay? All right, so it's about managing your mind and therefore your emotions, because our thoughts cause our emotions, right? Not what the other person does or what something that happens outside. It's our story about whatever has been done. It's what we make it mean. Right? With alienation, it's not that the person is alienating your child from you that's causing you to feel an emotion. It's your story about them keeping your child from you. Now, I can't mother my child. My child is going to hate me. I'm never going to see them. Those things, okay? That is what causes the emotion, not their act. Now, again, I'm not saying that you are the one that's like, if it weren't for your own thinking, then everything would be fine. I'm not saying that. But when we can recognize the thoughts that we're associating, the story that we have isn't helping us, we can find a story that is equally as true for us that causes us to feel the way we want to feel, right? So basically, managing your mind and your thoughts and learning how to think and feel on purpose with intention. Like, instead of allowing your emotions to run you, you have agency over all of that. You have a thought that causes an emotion. If that doesn't seem like the appropriate emotion, then you can decide to think something else. If you like the emotion, then you keep it. Okay. All right. So also with this, part B of processing through the triggers, I do want to acknowledge, and I think it's helpful to know that some parents, not all parents, alienated parents, but some of us are harboring resentments toward our children. You're not bad or wrong if that is the case for you. Many parents that I talk to, this hasn't been my experience, not yet, but that doesn't mean that I'm any better or further along than the next person, right? It just means that that hasn't been my experience yet. And I think it really truly depends on the events that have led up to the alienation for you. So everybody's different and you'll process it different, but it's entirely normal, you know, typical. It happens if you are angry with your children. So let's say you are angry and then you start to judge yourself for it too. Then you're adding unnecessary suffering on top of that core pain, which I was talking about last week, right? So it muddies everything up and then you really have a hard time getting to the core pain, okay? So make sure that you have and are recognizing any leftover anger, any victimhood, I don't know, fill in the blank. If you feel like you're going to get on the phone with them and they say the wrong thing and you're defensive, then this is something to look at way before you ever get on the phone with them, okay? If you feel like you need to convince them that you are the person that you are, then this is something to look at before you get on the phone with them. You don't need to convince them of anything. When we feel like we need to convince somebody of who we are, we usually are in that exasperated, like, little place, like feeling kind of tense and like, but they need to know. And if you're there, then really what you're actually trying to do, understandable, but you're really trying to control the outcome and also trying to control how the other person, in this case, your child, is thinking and feeling. And that is not going to turn out well for you. Okay. So if that's the case, then just hold tight before you start this whole road to trying to get back in touch with them. And lastly, the last thing that you want to have in check is that you are creating, cultivating a new, improved, I want to say, life for yourself. You are financially stable, or you are on the way there. You have a clear path there. You have a plan, an action plan for how you are going to become financially stable. And this looks completely different for different people, but I have to say that most parents that I have spoken with, most, I can't say all, I would just maybe like 60 to 65% of them, if I'm just guessing, have had to create a whole new plan as far as their finances go and their career goes. Many of you are or were either stay-at-home parents, or because of everything that happened with alienation, either you were working gainfully employed and were working full-time and then moved back to part-time to focus more closely on your situation of alienation and getting to court, maybe representing yourself, whatever the case might be. And now you are struggling. And so I think it's very, very not only helpful, but I think it's imperative that you are on your way back to becoming financially stable. If you even knew, I was on food stamps for years. I was in a place, I think I shared it in one of the episodes, like I was hurting, you know, negative in my bank account. You know, what little credit cards I did have were completely been maxed out and not paid in I don't know how long. Shit was bad. And I'm only barely just now coming back to an even. So I get you if you're there, and it's okay. It's okay that you're there. You're going to build back up. You just have to believe in yourself and believe in this process. And one thing that used to really trip me up, and in fact, caused me to waste and like sit in a spin cycle doing nothing, I mean, for at least 2.5 years, was the thought that it's too late. I'm too old. I started too late. I should have started earlier. I should have gone back to school earlier. This thought is a dream stealer. It is a life stealer. It is a time stealer. So there's no time like the present to start. It's not too late. I have a coach friend of mine who, she's amazing too. She's not alienated, but it doesn't matter. She didn't start her career, and she makes, I think she's up to like $350,000 right now. She was a yoga teacher before, but very part-time. She does mindfulness coaching, like intention work. Anyway, she's up to like $350 a year at least. She started her coaching journey maybe 4 years ago. She's 69 years old. 69 years old. Now she might be 70 now. And she's like fresh as like 50-year-olds that I know that have been beaten and worn down, you know, by the victim mentality, really. But yeah, so it's never too late to start is my point. 69 years old. And by the way, anybody that's listening to me out there, 69 is not old. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Not to, in today's world. It's way different than it was even 20 years ago. So I'm just saying that you can start in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I haven't heard any 80-year-old stories yet, but I'm sure they're out there. You know what I'm saying? So it's not too late. Gain some perspective. If you're feeling old and you know, are under, I don't know, your 80s, I think it's time for you to go out dancing with a friend and go and see how not old you are. You can start at any age. There are so many success stories of people becoming, you know, first-time business owners over 50 who only started 2 years ago, who are fucking killing it. The Today Show in the mornings, I don't watch the news anymore, but they used to do segments like that, that were always inspiring. Like the over 50 millionaire, over 50 first business, you know, whatever, in the last year, whatever. There's so many stories out there. You just have to look for the evidence, be on the lookout for that. Because if you're only looking for the evidence of how your life is over and there's no chance for you to, you know, quote unquote, make it at this age, you're wrong. It's because that's what you're looking for. Okay. All right. Don't get stuck in that trap. I wasted at least 2.5 years in that spot where I was telling myself it was too late. My life was already over. Okay. I really believed it. I just got off on a tangent about that. So you want to be financially able and stable, okay, is one. And then to be a, and I don't, when I say this, just know that I'm not trying to be cavalier when I'm saying this. I'm not coming from that spot, but you need to become a productive member of society. Like I said, I speak from experience. I was literally a bump on a log for, you know, years. I've been there. I know you've got to become a productive member of society and build your life back up again so that you're not just constantly feeling like at the effect of the alienator and or your child. You don't want to be pining away for your child in order to attract your child back to you. In order to like, think of it, think of you if it was you, that was your child and in your space, coming back to a parent that is like, woe is me. My life has been awful. I've just been waiting for you to come home. I've missed you terribly. Life sucks. The other parent completely ruined me. I haven't been able to recover from this. Or if you were instead, or your parent was like, it was terrible, but you know what? I learned how to overcome it, and I've made it my purpose and my objective to either help other people with it or to make my life even better than it was before, so that when you wanted to come back to me, I could share it with you. There's two different ways you could go. My guess is you would much rather reunite with the second option, the you that was like rebuilding and becoming a badass. One of the Instagram posts that I made like maybe last year. Think of alienation as the place you've come to harness your inner badass. That's the kind of mindset that I put on. I had to like suit up in it. This is my dojo for learning how to be the biggest and baddest badass, right? I am going to become so tough, but not in like a fight you way, but like I am resilient. I am resilient. I am strong, and I am beautiful even in this mess. We can really like flower bloom coming from this place. In fact, I think that you've probably heard me say this before, but the tragedy and trauma and remarkable challenge provides us with an opportunity, such an amazing opportunity for expansion. Like if you go get just some plain old dirt at the Lowe's or whatever, you just get topsoil and you plant a whatever plant that you have, maybe some tulips in there, right? Yeah, your flower will grow and it'll be fine. But it's when you add the ugly stuff into the soil that things start to flourish, right? And you all of a sudden have all these bright and beautiful colors and all the things. You add in the cow shit, maybe some egg yolks and some shells and just all of the crud, right, that you put into compost. I used to use pig shit. Mix that in with that plain old topsoil. And what comes out of it is so much greener, so much more vibrant and colorful and more plentiful, right? And that's just a silly analogy, but it's true. This ongoing circumstance and trauma of alienation, we can utilize this to expand more than we ever probably could before this, okay? It may not be in the way that you pictured it. Maybe if you had a plan for your life before and that was what success was in your mind, I would just urge you to knock open some walls out the way, because you just don't know what you're actually capable of now. So think of alienation as your dojo. And like I said, the last one, cultivate a newer, more improved, if you will, life for yourself. Become a productive member of society. Go help somebody else. Doesn't have to be another alienated parent or anything to do with alienation if you don't want, right? If you don't choose. You can go volunteer at a elderly care facility, a women's shelter, whatever floats your boat. But going and helping other people will always, always cause you to grow, cause you to expand your heart, okay? And it gets you out of your head. Like I said, if you are like, I don't have time, I've got so much stuff, I'm working two jobs trying to pay all of my bills now that all of this happened, I'm trying to pay my attorneys and whatever, I get it. Then when you see somebody that needs the door open for them at the store, you can find little tiny opportunities everywhere you look, helping somebody unload their groceries from the cart into their car. Watch what happens. Watch how many other opportunities you start to see for yourself. Do you see somebody working extra hard and doing an amazing job? Give them the compliment. People love that. When you step out of your shell like that, watch what happens. Your mind expands. You'll start looking for more of those opportunities. But when you're only living in your comfort zone and looking straight ahead or like maybe down on the ground, just have to get this done. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to blah, 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 blah. When your whole life is like have to, should, blah, I need to, you're going to find that you're consistently activated and not in a good way. Okay. So start becoming aware of what you're thinking and how you're behaving and seeing how you can just reach outside of your bubble, even only for a 10-second period of time to hand somebody a compliment. Keep doing that for 3 months. It will change you. It will change you. I promise you, your habits will be different. Even if you just started giving one person a compliment a day, a different person a compliment every day, watch what happens after 3 months, after 6 months. I promise you, that won't be the only thing that changes. You will have opened up your perspective. Little things like that will start to change the way that you see the world. Okay. So yeah. So make sure that you are cultivating a life for yourself and be able, capable, financially stable, productive member of society. Okay. So those are the four things. Doing these things will not only keep you busy, if you will, over the next couple of months, but I'm hoping that it provides a sense of, okay, this is the framework. This is where I can work on. This is where maybe I haven't done yet. And you just have like a little bit of direction and a sense of purpose. I promise you, just doing these things, you will attract a higher frequency of partners, other relationships outside. Okay. Oh, that's one I didn't mention too. Shit, Shelby. I think it's very important to reassess the current relationships that you do have in your life. Okay. And if you need to trim the fat, right? Look at the relationships that you have that are intentional and you love. Look at the relationships that you don't love so much. How can you improve those relationships if that's what you want to do? Maybe there are some, the hard truth is some of these relationships that you've been holding on to that maybe you need to let go. Maybe you want to start to let go of. If they are not serving you, and I don't mean to say that in a selfish way. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's important that you are selfish and you are caring for yourself first before somebody else in the way that you are not compromising yourself for them. So what I mean is basically if there's any relationships in your life that are costing you, kind of like the habits that we were talking about before earlier, if there are any of these relationships that are costing you and you're keeping them for the wrong reasons and you know what the quote unquote wrong reasons are, it'll be a huge help for you to look at that. Okay. And be brutally honest with yourself. With all of this stuff, but you're not doing yourself or anybody else any good if you are not being brutally honest with yourself, okay? If you can't be honest with yourself, then, and you can be, just a matter of whether you want to be or not, but it will, your level of honesty will determine the outcome here with all of this, okay? And just know that whatever it is that you come up with, it's okay. It is okay. I guarantee you're not the first person who has said, thought, or done. So I don't know where I got this. Brene Brown, maybe. When I have some shame going on, I am not the first person who's done this, and I won't be the last. I'm not the first person who's felt this, and I won't be the last, right? There are other people that have gone through this. So hopefully this gives you something to work on over the holiday season. And of course, as you know, if you want help with any of these things, this is what I do. I help my clients to come up with strategies, and each person is different. When I'm working with my one-on-one clients, we come up with a custom strategy for addressing each one of these four items, and we break it down into very simple tasks and little challenges that we work on week by week. Okay, causing you to get to a place where you change the way that you think and feel about your life. Okay, and therefore attracting a higher frequency and maybe also your child when they're ready. Okay, so I'll see you next week. Y'all take care. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.